Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Lots to get to today. The Golden Globe nominations are out. We'll talk about that. I did want to share with you, I made an Instagram. I've been laying low with this. It is at Daily Comedy News. And at this point, all I'm doing is just promoting the podcast, but it occurred to me I should tell you about my Instagram at Daily Comedy News, because, you know, if you follow it, it'll tell your friends that you follow it, and maybe this thing could spread a little bit. So if you want to follow that, that's great, but no big promises yet. Like, it's just like a picture of Frasier and be like, on today's pod, is Frasier coming back? All right, let's get to late night. Jimmy Kimmel, he talked about the typo in former President Trump's legal briefing. He said on the very first page of their first legal filing, they wrote, quote, to the honorable members of the United States Senate, they misspelled United States and we're off. Jimmy Fallon said there was actually a typo on the first page of the Trump brief, but I'm sure it was a long, complicated legal term. No, it's just the name of our country. That's it. Some people wondered why spell check didn't catch mistyping United States. I'm guessing somebody wrote untied states, which is a joke in itself. This next section here, a tad dated. These are leftover Groundhog Day jokes. Seth Meyers said, I know you think it's just a cute little tradition, but don't know if you've noticed, the rest of us are out here in a life or death battle over anti-science psychopaths taking over our government. So it really doesn't help our case that we're out here using animals to predict the weather, because it's hard to make fun of Marjorie Taylor Greene and her Jewish space lasers while you supposed blue staters are wearing top hats and gathering around a hole in the ground waiting to find out if you can book tea times based on which way a woodchuck scurries. Fallon said, I'm all for non-political news, but this whole thing's getting a little silly. I mean, top hats and scrolls, wall-to-wall coverage, it's a groundhog, it's not a royal wedding, Biden's inauguration didn't get this much attention. Colbert said, due to the pandemic, instead of any groundhog groupies, the audience was packed with cardboard cutouts. Well, that means there were no proper witnesses. I demand a hand recount of the groundhog. Stop the shadow. That's great. Fallon said, I'm glad we're still holding up wild rodents. Clearly, we've learned a lot about public health from the pandemic. Fallon again, it seems Puxatony Phil has been spending lockdown like the rest of us because he came out in stretchy pants eating a tube of cookie dough. Colbert, for the love of God, Phil, I can't take it. I don't want to be stuck inside 6 more weeks staring at the snow outside the window. I'm ready to be stuck inside staring at rain outside the window. I know the Groundhog Day was 2 days ago and those are dated, but they were really good. I wanted to get those in. All right, the Golden Globes announced their nominees. I won't read you everything. We'll focus on comedy here because this podcast is daily comedy news, you know? Best performance by an actor in a television series, musical, or comedy. The nominees are Don Cheadle, Nicholas Hoult, Eugene Levy for Schitt's Creek, Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso, Rami Youssef for Rami. Let me think about that. I'm doing this cold, right? Best performance by an actor. Now, I love Ted Lasso. I'm not giving it to Schitt's Creek. Schitt's Creek's just going to win everything. I'm going to give it to Rami Youssef. Rami is a really good show if you haven't watched that. As much as I love Ted Lasso, I can't say that like Jason Sudeikis' performance is like non-duplicatable. Like somebody else could have done that. Rami Youssef for Rami. You get my Golden Globe from me. Does that matter? Best performance by an actress in a television series, musical, or comedy. Lily Collins, Kaylee Cuoco, Ellie Fanning, Jane Levy, Catherine O'Hara for Schitt's Creek. I'll surrender and give it to Catherine O'Hara for Schitt's Creek because I'm comedy biased here. Skipping over some non-comedy ones brings us to best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a series, a limited series, or motion picture made for television. Helena Bonham Carter for The Crown, Julia Garner Ozark, Annie Murphy Schitt's Creek, Cynthia Nixon Ratched. Only one comedian there, Annie Murphy. You win from Daily Comedy News. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a series, limited series, or motion picture made for television. John Boyega, Small Axe, Brandon Gleeson, Comey Rule, Daniel Levy, Schitt's Creek, Jim Parsons, Hollywood, Daniel Sutherland, The Undoing. Guess we got to give it to Schitt's Creek. Ugh. Best television series, musical, or comedy. Emily in Paris, The Flight Attendant, Schitt's Creek, The Great, Ted Lasso. I say Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso, you must defeat Schitt's Creek. Enough with Schitt's Creek awards. Ted Lasso is fantastic. Everyone should watch it. Best motion picture, musical, or comedy. The nominees are Borat, subsequent movie film, Hamilton, music, Palm Springs, and The Prom. All right, I'm going to cut this down to, well, Hamilton was really good, but I'm comedy biased here, so I'll give it to a comedy. Let's see, Borat or Palm Springs? Palm Springs was really good. Borat was really funny. Did I talk people's ear off about Palm Springs? I did not. Borat is my choice. Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. The nominees are Sacha Baron Cohen for Borat, subsequent movie film, James Corden for The Prom, Lin-Manuel Miranda for Hamilton, Dev Patel for The Personal History of David Copperfield, Andy Samberg in Palm Springs. All right, I loved Palm Springs, but that's just Andy Samberg doing Andy Samberg things. Sacha Baron Cohen for Borat, he did commit. You go live undercover with somebody for 5 days. Love Hamilton, though, but it's not a comedy. All right, I'm giving it to Sacha Baron Cohen, even though we all know Lin-Manuel Miranda's going to win, deservedly so. And we found out the host of the 78th annual Golden Globe Awards. It's going to be, no, it's not Ricky, rats. It's Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They're fine, but like if Ricky hosted, I would stay up late and record the podcast at night or get up early and do it so I could incorporate Ricky Gervais's jokes into this podcast. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, they're nice, but like I'm not staying up late to record the podcast for that one. It's the first time they've hosted the Golden Globe since 2015. They will not be in the same room together. Tina will broadcast from the Rainbow Room in New York City. Amy Poehler will host from the usual Golden Globe spot inside the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Beverly Hills, California. This thing will air Sunday, February 28th at 8 Eastern. Last year was hosted by Ricky Gervais and was one of the most watched network telecasts of the year, averaging 19.2 million viewers. Sticking with movies, I saw Mike Birbiglia tweet, "Movie recommendation, Black Bear. Find it. I will say nothing more." That piqued my curiosity, so I looked up Black Bear and I learned, in Black Bear, a filmmaker plays a calculated game of desire and jealousy in pursuit of a work of art that blurs the boundaries between autobiography and invention. It was released in theaters on December 4th. It was released streaming also on December 4th, and it runs 1 hour 44 minutes. Does anyone know anything about Black Bear? I do not. Birbiglia caught up with Vulture. Mike talked about how he got into Zoom comedy. He said, "I talked to Sam Morril, who had done some of these Zoom comedy shows. Sam said to me, I actually get a lot out of it. I also didn't expect that not only are you performing for people who can't leave their houses, you're also performing for people who maybe couldn't leave their houses before COVID. So Mike said, that's when I decided I would try this at least once. In summer 2020, I did one night of Mike Birbiglia working it out virtually for 500 people who were located around the world. It was weird and fun. I decided to do more. I started adding virtual crew members, a cinematographer, a sound technician, a director. We added 3 more iPhones to give us new camera angles. We lit my brother Joe's Rhode Island office like a TV studio. It became the strange hybrid stand-up comedy interactive talk show. What I discovered was that the same thing people enjoyed about the live shows were things they were able to enjoy on the Zoom show. One of our producers noticed that during one of the shows, someone wrote in the live Zoom chat, 'I can't unmute, I want to laugh.' The folks were unmuted by the hosts. They were seen, they were heard. So much of comedy is about turning reality on its head, but at this moment in history, really itself has already been turned on its head. We're living in the science fiction future we had imagined. Instead of gathering in rooms for jokes, we're in 1,000 different rooms that become one room for 1 hour." I don't know how to do this one properly. I will try. Writer Joe Adams did a spec script for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia called "The Gang Storms the Capitol." I'm cribbing here from the AV Club. They included an excerpt. I'm going to have to do some of my bad voice acting here. Frank, "This is so stupid. There's no one even here. Why do we have to have these stupid things on?" Dennis, "Because Frank, you could have it. I could have it. Anyone could have it. The damn thing is everywhere." Mac, "I think it's made up." Everyone, "Whoa." Mac, "Look at the facts. I haven't got it. You guys haven't got it. No one else has gotten it." D, "Should I do a falsetto?" "But we don't know anyone else." Mac, "Shut up, D. Shut the hell up." I didn't do that justice. It reads funny on the page. It's in the AV Club. Shortly after that above passage, terribly recreated by me, Charlie storms in with a mask with a red spot on. Well, actually, he storms in without a mask and then puts a mask with a red dot. Mac thinks it's Soraka. It's actually blood. Patty's is doing delivery, sort of. Frank has been collecting government cheese for some fake business. It's the fact that Patty's is struggling that sends the gang to Washington to demand some stimulus money, because naturally they don't have much of a clue as to what's going on. Charlie gets interviewed by a Vice reporter and he says, "There aren't any passionate people like that Alex Anker Hamilton guy. He was the first rapper to be president. Now what do we got? No money, no bar, no rapping. That's what." Charlie and Frank wind up in Statuary Hall. It's all nuts. It's all perfect. And while we have no desire to see the gang end their record-breaking run on FXX, it would make a hell of an ending. Joe Adams, the writer on that one. Hey, good job, Tracy Morgan. He did some volunteering last weekend. WABC caught this story and said, It was a pop-up food pantry with star power. Comedian Tracy Morgan volunteered at the event at PS 57 on Staten Island. The food pantry was organized by the Food Bank for New York City. There was enough food to feed 500 families. Good job, Tracy Morgan. Natasha Leggero spoke to the Daily Beast about those Comedy Central roasts. She said, "It was a hard thing for me to do. It was one of those things that's extremely intimidating because it's like, I'm going to go make fun of A-list celebrities I've never met before. Everyone could take a joke, but it was extremely intimidating. And it was one of those things in your career where you're like, all right, I'm afraid of this. I'm terrified. I'm going to try to raise the occasion and be so prepared." It sounds very cliche, but it's really about preparation. You have to be so prepared. And every time there's a point where you're like, well, I could do another set here. Or I could just stay home. I'll be fine. Always go do that extra set. Always go try out that extra joke. For something like that, it's the only way I've ever been able to get through it, just by doing the work so hardcore. I was terrified. I was like, all right, I'm a woman, so I'm either going to be a whore or old. So I was like, well, I'm not 20, but there were other people who were older than me. The Daily Beast interviewer says, that was the year when there was a lot of controversy around Sarah Silverman, who got all these old jokes when she was like 42 or something, right? Natasha said, yeah, and Sarah was so funny and looked so amazing. So I somehow escaped that because nobody wants to go up there and have men say that your pubic hair has spider webs or whatever. They can just be so mean to women. And then I was offered the roast a third time, and I just had a baby, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm mentally prepared for jokes about how my kid would have Down syndrome because I'm such an old hag. You kind of play through the worst case scenario. So I was like, you know what? I think I've done it. It was fun. That is your daily comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Spotify. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do and you want to buy me a coffee, you can go to buymeacoffee.com. You can click on a button there. The easiest way is to donate $5 to the show, from which I will buy an iced coffee like this one, whose ice has melted. I need a refresh. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. No pressure, but if you like what I do, I do appreciate it. Catch you tomorrow.